Hey everyone, I'm Madonna and this is David, and it is
Hello,
World
everyone.
Teachers' Day.
Well, teacher's day.
So David mentioned this morning. He's married to a teacher, the beautiful Beth, of course. And we thought we'd chat about our favorite teachers because I certainly in my career I've had lots.
Right.
So it's been one of the best things is having gurus who not only I love what they've taught me in the naturopathy and kinesiology world, but just as human beings, knowing their width and breadth of life experience and what's taken them to where they are. When
Right.
you see that change in people, it's very exciting. So, for example, I'll mention my favorite, Dr. Charles Krebs, and he's the guy who developed the LEAP program, so the brain integration kinesiology program that I do.
Which helped with things like neurodiversity, and mainly that was what it was for,
Yeah.
wasn't it? For ADHD and getting the brain circuits ready.
Well, anyone who has any issue with anything can do with their brain being better integrated, whether they're going into a hostile environment at work, whether they've got marital issues, whether they've got relationship or bullying issues. Anything we do to keep the brain more integrated
So what does it
under
do?
stress,
Integrates the
it helps to
left,
connect the
right?
neurons, in the brain, well, lots of different areas, and individual parts of the brain, waking them up so that they're more activated. So anyway, that's really cool. And Charles Krebs, of course, was drawn to it because when he was 35, he was here in Australia. He's an American. He was up in Cairns and he had a deep sea diving accident. Got a nitrogen bubble in his cervical spine, and he basically was a quadriplegic, told he'd be dead in 72 hours. So luckily here in Australia, down on the Great South Australian Bight, down underneath South Australia, there was a strike with either BHP or BP. Anyway, it doesn't matter which one, but one of those. And so he went into a
Well,
decompression chamber.
one's a steel place and the other the petrol place.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Anyway,
one of
so
a
he
corporation.
basically went into a, yeah, someone making lots of money and charging us. So went into a decompression chamber and went down in there for like 12 days.
Oh,
And
really?
so that shrunk the nitrogen bubble so he didn't die. He overheard people saying he was going to be dead, which was pretty funny. And because of course he wasn't, but then he was still a quadriplegic when he got out of there, but he was alive. So then he spent something like nearly a year in hospital. And because he was, he's a bit of a smarty pants. So he was a black belt in karate. He used to teach anatomy and physiology at Harvard. So he knew all the neurological pathways in the brain from the brain to the feet. So while he was in there, instead of watching, brain deadening TV, he would lie there and he would do meditation and visualization, visualizing a pathway from the brain down to, the finger and back up to the brain and down to the
Oh, really?
finger and back up to the brain and down to the toe until he would get movement. And he walked out of hospital within a year. I mean, he walked like a cripple, don't get me wrong. But that's Charles. And about 3 years later, a couple of girlfriends later, he was dating some hippie chick, and she said, "You need some kinesiology." So he went and had 2 hours of kinesiology with Dr. Bruce Dew, and it was the first time he felt like his brain and his feet had communicated to each other since the accident.
Right, and that's interesting. So that's come from, so an external stressor. So there'd be some post-traumatic stress
Oh, absolutely. But
with
Charles.
that. No, but you often you end up in that condition from a major head injury,
Yeah.
or it
Well,
usually takes something like that for it to happen in a very passive way like
yes.
that with a air issue
Yeah.
is really interesting.
Well, because it shrunk the spinal cord so tiny, so the spinal cord
Because
is.
of the pressure.
Yeah, so basically it shrunk it. So to this day, it's got this tiny little bit of his spinal cord in that neck. So he should never have been able to walk. So from a medical perspective, he really shouldn't have been able to do what he did. And he had a big part of his frontal cortex that was dead scar tissue because of it. So, but he had that scanned again. He's not in a great way now. He's nearly 90. And who
Well,
knows?
90 is a great way just to get there.
Yeah, because he
Like,
was, so.
a lot of people won't get past 70.
Yeah, well, anyway.
And so
So,
being 90 in itself is a good
but he's
thing.
never been great at having treatments done on himself because he knows so much. It's hard for people who are brilliant to accept help from other people, which isn't. So, who's your favorite?
That's
Anyway, so
not
that's Dr.
uncommon.
Charles Krebs, one of my favorite people. And that's why I love LEAP, the brain integration stuff that I do. So, who's one of your favorite teachers?
I've got so many
Ah.
teachers and gurus, like spiritual teachers.
Yeah.
I've got a yoga teacher, I've got a bhakti yoga teacher, and But in healing, I've got like really good. I had really good teachers at uni, and like really experienced counselors, and go back and thinking. And because I'm because a lot of the study I did late, a lot of my teaching happened when I was already an adult or
Yeah.
middle-aged person.
Nothing wrong with that. That's when
No.
life experience comes in.
Well, it makes it even more engaging because you can appreciate them more.
Yeah.
And so you end up, because there's this transference that happens, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, what do you call that thing where you don't get something at all and slowly, just through this process, it's almost like I had a design teacher, like in about 2000, and he was a really experienced art director. And then, but this thing happened, this transference happened when you. Because it's also the way you react to a teacher that makes this thing happen.
Right.
Like if you take a really submissive role, not like, like cheesy, but just really put yourself beneath them,
Yes.
some type of transference happen that's hard to explain. That, yeah, sure, you read the textbook and you listen to these lectures, but this other thing happens in terms of relationship.
Yeah.
Do you find that with
Well, with Charles. So,
Charles?
I remember the last time I saw, actually, twice in the last 10 years I've seen him. He's not teaching anymore, obviously. But once I had about a week's notice and I found out he was in Perth. And I was like, what? He's in Australia? So I immediately cancelled a week's appointments. And, I was like, nah, I've got to go see Charles. I booked my flight. I was over there. And it was funny because at that one, I felt like a bit of a mama lion. We always talk about the fight, flight, freeze stuff. I felt like a bit of a mama lion because I just love Charles. And him and I, he's older than me, obviously, but I always make sure I sit in the right spot in the class because I know the way he, with his cripple stuff, I know the direction he teaches. So I always sit myself in the class so that I get most direct line of sight. So I have a really good relationship with Charles, and he always, and of course, he's American, so he goes, so Madonna, how
Madonna.
are you, Madonna? Anyway, so on this particular occasion, I walked into a room at lunchtime and there were some people bitching about the fact that he shouldn't still be teaching. And I remembered, like that morning, I had just loved for exactly that reason. When you put yourself in that position of, okay, I'm the student, here's
Yeah,
my
what did he
guru.
do wrong? They retired them at age of 75 and you should follow the rules.
No, it was more that he wasn't sticking to the script. So there was a certain amount that people wanted. So people who had don't experience Charles don't realize that you go see Charles because of his life experience.
But
So it
anybody,
doesn't matter.
any time you see someone like that, someone who's retired, like so many of the best psychology theorists, they're kind of retired.
Yeah.
They're similar, like people like Bessel van der Kolk, like he's written Body Keeps the Score and this and that, but he's really semi-retired
Yeah.
and he's doing it part-time and he's only doing what he likes.
Yes,
And so that
exactly.
wins. So Charles is at that
And well,
stage.
Charles has
And then
got.
you're not really looking because they're teaching teachers by then anyway.
Yes.
They're teaching the top tier people.
And what's it called? Eidetic memory? Is that like
I'm not
perfect
sure.
visual memory? Eidetic? Anyway, so he's got this memory where if someone says to him,
It's lucky if you've got it.
someone will say, well, what about climate change, for example? So he will draw the earth and he'll draw the continents and then he'll go into the flows of the ocean and he'll say, and then he'll talk about it. He knows all that stuff. If someone says to him
And
something
a little
about
bit, naughty.
the kidney, oh yeah, absolutely. So the kidneys, he will draw the kidneys with all of the blood supply in and out and the nephrons and all sorts of things. So he's just got this memory where he just can remember so much that it doesn't matter what you ask. Firstly, he'll have an opinion, but secondly, he has a really good reason for having an opinion because he knows people. And the thing that I loved about him the whole time in the last 25 years I've learned from him is that if he talks about something like, say, the glial cells in the brain, he'll say, well, Jackie and I used to work on the glial cells in the brain, but we didn't know it was that because that was just considered the black space in the brain that they considered was just spare space. Because that's what we've got in our body, all this spare space.
I've got a fair
But
bit of that.
don't we all? So, but they basically didn't know. So, therefore, they didn't know what glial cells were. But Jackie and Charles knew that when they were muscle testing, that this area would be really, really important. And then finally, science caught up to the kinesiology. They'd say, oh, that's what this is. It's not spare space.
Well, they're about GABA and
Yeah, so glial cells, there's about a dozen types, or there are six major types of glial cells,
They
and
work
they all
for
do lots of different
neuroreceptors.
things. They do lots of different things. So basically, there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I was learning a bit about them. I can't quite remember
No,
them.
it's cool. So the microglia, for example, are the ones that actually are involved in your lymphatic system when you sleep. So when your brain shrinks by about 20% when you're having a good night's sleep, and the microglia go through and clean up your brain cells, snip the bits it doesn't need.
Right.
You know, it's involved in the lymphatic system. Anyway, so Charles would go off on these tangents. So I walked into this room and these people were having a bitch about him. I was like, are you kidding me? That's Charles freaking Krebs out there. I couldn't believe it. I was so angry with him.
Now, I experienced that when I was at uni. Some of the more experienced lecturers we had were visiting lecturers,
Right.
and people used to pay out on them. But I was like, oh wait, this guy's got like one of my le well, just studying counselling, there were so many,
Yeah.
but one of them was his name's Alan Richardson, and he's a teacher. He was a teacher at QUT as well as, and now I know some of his students, and he was teaching the thing that I was really urgent to learn, you know, like the postmodern narrative therapy and all those types of things. Except he was like an anomaly, and people pay out of him because he's a bit like, yeah, he'd make these little phrases, but they're the key phrases you need, hopes and dreams, and you know all that sort of thing. And because if you get in that position, like you say, with you get this relationship that you can tap in on later. Like when I did my arts degree, I became friends with both my senior lecturers,
Yeah.
and one of them has a gallery down at Woolloongabba, the Woolloongabba Art Gallery. They work with Aboriginal people a lot and
Yep.
exhibit. But my other friend Ray, he was a veteran in Vietnam, and we talked to each other on Facebook all the time. And he came up to Brisbane last year, and went to the art gallery, but we didn't go to the art gallery. We just sat in the cafe for 3 hours and chatted. Then he came over to my place, met the family, and that's the sort of beautiful thing
Yeah,
happens with
nice.
really good teachers, that you end up with this bond, because it's like you know they're responsible for getting
Yeah.
you where you are, and the ones that are so good, you're like, wow, that person really like elevated me to here.
Well, let me talk
And
about.
we're still friends.
Yeah, so let me chat about my friend Linda Hoggard. So she became a naturopath 3 years after
She's
I
like
did.
more of a peer than a.
She's more of a peer, but she's also got an incredible biochemistry brain. So if I've got a biochemistry question, I'll sort of say, da 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 da, I'll send her a message, and
Because we have
she'll,
peers that are teachers
oh,
too.
she's amazing.
People are
Well, she's,
sideways teachers, up teachers, and down
yeah,
teachers.
so she, because she knows more than me by a long shot about the stem cell research, you know, because that's where she spent the last 20 years really putting a lot of energy and effort. And just recently, she spent an hour and a half chatting to the guy who spent 9 years making the most pure zeolite on the planet. So, you know, she's, anyway, so she's very cool because, and I think part of why I love her so much is that she feels everything going on in her body. So if
Well, the
she
pot
tries a
keeps the
new,
score.
if she tries a new supplement, then she will know whether it
Oh,
works
she
or
can
not
feel it.
within, yeah. Whereas I can't, you know, and I've usually got pretty good energy and I'm pretty upbeat
I
and
like it when I feel them. Like anything that you feel come on, because it's usually about 20 minutes. You just feel something hit. Doesn't matter
yeah.
what it is, it's 20 minutes, and if it's strong, you feel it.
Yeah. So
Like,
it's sort of interesting, but because she is the reason I'm a kinesiologist, because we met at a first aid course when I just finished naturopathy and she was just started naturopathy and had just finished a massage.
So this is the accident that happened that ended up with your teacher, Charles Krebs.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, very, very cool. So, and she, because,
I mean synchronicity,
no,
not
well,
synchronicity.
yeah, but Linda, because her brain was so discombobulated, she was really unco in those days. It was hilarious playing pool, you know, because
Right.
she had no idea how far away the
Oh,
pool
really?
was. Oh, she had no 3D vision. Was
No,
really,
I remember Linda. I've
yeah, so
met her a
very
lot of
funny.
times.
Yeah, so that's sort of funny. Anyway, so she's another cool chick who's taught me a hell of a lot and has steered my path in life to a certain, well,
No,
to
but
a lot of
it's
extents.
funny how people adopt you too, right? So I've got a friend, Oliver, who's a counselor, and he kind of adopted me when I was at uni, and you don't understand why it's happening. You know that thing, why?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and then but he's just written this beautiful book on counseling. And he used to be a police officer.
Right.
And so what's interesting is that a lot of us who come from very, you know, I don't have that experience going out in public, dealing with really hard things, going into places that there's violent people there. And they do. And so this book, he talks about how some of the skills he used to be a police officer, which were really nice ones. Like he's like, he was the nice guy. Like he's, they send him in because he was the little guy, because he was less intimate. 5'10" is the little
It's
guy.
usually the chick who's nasty and the guy who's nice. In my
Well, yeah.
experience, there's always a good cop, bad
No,
cop.
but he was telling one story about how they sent him in because he was 5'10",
Yeah.
because the guys he was talking to were like 6'7" and 6'5",
Wow.
and he said making eye contact with them was like this.
Right.
And anyway, it worked because, you know, they're not intimidated.
Yeah.
So therefore, and these skills are in counselling too, that if we are judgmental or if we're intimidating or discriminating in any way, people aren't going to feel safe.
Yes,
They're not going to
absolutely.
feel safe, and then they're not going to talk, and they can't heal. And it's not that you have to talk, like, you know, because a lot of stuff that we see when we're talking to a therapist or a counselor, we don't tell the people around us. Maybe there are things that we're wondering about, we haven't brought to the surface. And sometimes bringing them up isn't even, you just want to see what it is, because they go around in your head. You don't say them to your friends because you're scared if people, if I say this, I'll get a reaction. And often just being able to have that comfortable space where someone's just being curious, not judgmental, is the way that it can come out. And you don't even have to do anything. But it's like, I watched this guy, Healthy Gamer GG, is another one of my teachers, Dr. K, and he was talking about complex trauma. So complex trauma in childhood ends up often becoming something in adulthood that no one expected, that's really not that good. But he's like, he gave this example. He goes, complex trauma, it's like having piss in your water. And he goes,
Doesn't matter how much sugar you add.
that's right. He goes, you can do positive therapy and these things, but it doesn't matter how much sugar you put in the water, it's still got piss in it. And trauma is a bit like that. It's like, you know, so you want to, and so, you know, so people need a place where they can do those things in a non-judgmental, really safe environment.
And I think that's
It's
where,
what we get trained to do as counselors.
and
And
as a, well, we weren't trained to do that, but I learned to do
you
that
learn, yeah.
because the sort of thing, well, yeah, there wasn't a lot of counseling, although one of the first courses I did within kinesiology, luckily, was counseling kinesiology. And Gordon Dixon, another one of my gurus, like he was my first touch for health instructor, so my first kinesiology trainer. And luckily, he picked up on my personality fairly quickly. So I was scouring for the kinesiology training I wanted to do. And occasionally I'd say, oh, what do you think about this? And he'd go, you'll hate that, Madonna. Don't do it. It's too pernickety. It's too, you know, he goes, you would like this and this. So he really steered my direction
Right.
as well.
And it's something
So,
you're more interested in.
well, in order to do the two things that Linda decided we needed to do NOT, which is the structural kinesiology that I do, and LEAP, the brain integration. So they were the two things because Linda was so discombobulated with her body and
That's what she
brain.
needed.
That's what she needed. So that's where we aimed. And I didn't care. I was just following Linda around. So I joked that she cost me 50 grand in
Right.
kinesiology fees.
Training.
Probably 100 grand. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just been awesome. And I thank her for that, obviously, regularly. And she, so we, so Gordy. What was I going to say? Oh, so Gordon, when he first started putting together his counseling kinesiology, he was down in Melbourne with a whole bunch of the other beginner kinesiologists back in the 80s, you know, so Don Viney,
Gordon
Gordon
Dixon.
Dixon. So him and his wife do this beautiful counseling kinesiology sort of stuff, and they're quite brilliant at it. It's just this really lovely combination that they do. And but he has been into prison and counseled prisoners. He was an engineer. You know, very, very left-brained. So when he was putting together the counseling kinesiology stuff, it was from this place of left-brain stuff. If this, then this, then this, then this, and how everything intermingles together in our brain with trauma and with belief systems and all sorts of stuff. So it's
And
a,
how invisible it is. It's like
yeah.
because there's a couple of things about it. Not only do we often with things like we keep a lot of things secret,
Yeah.
and see, we don't tell our close people, right? So it's like, and then there's other things like some traumas are really embarrassing to even disclose. Like disclosure is really hard,
Yeah.
and if you make a disclosure about something and it's not received in a really empathetic way. Counselors talk about it all the time. They'll make some minor judgment and the person stops
Oh
talking.
my
And then you're
goodness.
like, oh no, I missed. Oh no, it wasn't even a judgment. It might have been just a little bit of resistance. And the person was about to, and then it stopped. And you know that as a counselor, it's like
Yeah.
I didn't hold my empathy for long enough, and I
Yeah.
said something
Yeah.
instead of just let it be, you know.
Yeah. And I've heard so many stories from clients who have been to counselors and they'll never go to another counselor again because the counselor shut them down and said, "You're not this, you're not that." You know, someone says, "Oh, I'm anxious and I'm stressed and I think I've got OCD." And after a few questions, they say, you don't have OCD." You
Right,
know,
which as
so
they're probably already getting from their family, get over it, you'll be all right, which
yeah.
isn't what really people need.
Yeah. So it's and also some
But
people.
people don't know what they need. Often, even by saying that, that'll be the beginning of talking about something. So they talk about something deeper and deeper,
Yes.
right? Because it's like, because some things like, you know, it's like childhood trauma,
Yeah.
right? Everyone's in this position where, sure, it did happen, but you still love your mum and dad, right?
Yeah.
And this is a problem. So people are like, so there's a thing. It's like if you have really serious marriage problems,
Yeah.
it's like it, a lot of people will just bring judgment into that and go run as fast as you can.
Yeah.
But it's like you go, no, I actually love that person and they love me. And if you know they've had really extreme childhood trauma, how can you not be compassionate?
Yeah.
Like that's sort of something that, you know, people criticize me for that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's like, these people actually, yeah, they might be like that sometimes, but most of the time they're like really,
Yeah.
you know. And so, and my friend Oliver's book, it's called Toolkit for Counselors. It'll be out soon, but it's like it reviews all of those things. Like as a counselor, you can't, I don't know if it's the same, but you get so caught up in new theories, and you kind of forget about the basic core principles of being curious and being open, and you know, being non-judgmental and just remembering that people, if people come to you as a counselor or a therapist, they're in a hard place,
Yeah.
and they're not getting what they need from outside necessarily, or the people outside can't solve the problem,
Yeah.
and so they're in a very vulnerable position, and we've got to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had to,
And
you
this is
know.
one of my latest teachings. I've already learned it, but it's my friend wrote a book, and it's like dealing with hardcore
Yeah.
situations, you know, and which is really healthy because often we live a very gentrified life because those people are protecting us, so we have fairly safe experiences and we don't
Yes.
even know about this really. And then you meet people with really hardcore stuff and you go, my Lord,
Yeah, and probably the
what do I
worst
say? What do I
things.
do? I've never
Yeah.
had anything to.
No. And probably the worst things anyone's ever done. I had one lady tell me that she had felt like she'd abused a niece. I had another person who was a very ang she happened to be gay, but she was a very angry gay woman who just hated me with a passion, and she would just eyeball me, and you have to really hold a poker face when someone's
But you got through with that?
you she doesn't see me very often, but occasionally she comes back.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was just weird, you know, because she
Well,
just
she
hated
does come back.
naturopaths, you
Oh.
know, and I had another
But they need that thing they can't get
I
from
had
us.
an yeah, and I had another guy, and he just wanted to beat the shit you out of cops, actually. So
Right.
he would go. He was so angry, he would go to a pub deliberately to get into fights, so that the fight would be broken up by a policeman, so that he could,
Really?
yeah. And his mum brought
Wow.
him to me, and he had a broken hand, and he didn't want his hand. He mainly wanted his hand fixed so that he
He could
could keep
regive
doing it again. So his mum had rang me and saying, "Is there any way he can work on his hand,
it.
but sort of help the brain, the anger and stuff at the same time?" So I did. I kept stacking in the hand, so the physicality of the wound, I'd stack it in, and then I'd go work on survival, deep survival, hidden deep survival, and help to integrate the brain. You know, so because you can do that. But yeah, so I suppose, and I had another boy who was about 16, really big, tall, solid boy. One of my practitioners was pregnant. He punched her in the belly when she was when he was walking past her room because he had unresolved anger issues.
She okay?
Oh, she was absolutely, but it terrified the staff. So we had to create a whole thing where there were only two practitioners who were willing to treat him, and we would have to do it before and after the rest of the team was at work.
Well, my supervisor was telling me about she's got a big counselling centre, and the people from somewhere, the public service, they
Yeah.
brought in awesome psychologists, and they were like, and the people they brought in were really scary, like
Right.
smell, you know, and it's like Because some of that level of counseling dealing with very intense people, it's very
Yeah.
intimidating. And they have to have cameras
Well, one of
and,
my cousins went to, when she was
and
doing
because
her psych
it
unit.
isn't completely safe being a therapist
No,
either.
so one of my cousins, she was doing psych as part of her being a doctor, and she went into a prison and they left her there with the prisoner doing her psych thing, and she felt she could easily have been abused and
Right.
attacked.
Yeah, no.
So she did
But a
totally
lot
not
of
feel
therapists
safe.
get really, a lot of them, because I went to school, when I went to uni, there were a lot of people who were already practicing. And a lot of people in prison, they're like, they get really good at it and they love it too. And they get that and they're not scared. And you kind of go, whoa, okay. Because I remember them, I remember them, some toughed it
Yeah.
up. And they're toughy people.
Yeah. Well,
They're
Gordon
used to being
Dixon,
in the
he's a
space.
slight little thin man, you know. There was nothing to him if anyone had, you know, when he was counseling prisoners. And same with my cousin, she's shorter than me. So, you know, that's a big thing. So, yeah, but luckily you're absolutely right. We're in a beautiful, safe space
But the other thing
where
is they're often mandated. So a lot of the harder stuff it's mandated, and psychologists will pick that up because it becomes part of a program.
right.
And but counselors do prison work too.
Yeah.
But those people need help too. I mean,
Oh, they do,
because
absolutely.
when you're a therapist, 10 questions about their past, you find, right, they're like this because of that
Yeah,
usually.
absolutely.
Because even things like even the heavier personality disorders, they often come out of childhood trauma,
Yeah.
and they've grown up with violence, and that's normalized, and there's a homeostasis,
Yeah.
right, which is normal in that family where somehow or other they get on and have dinner and do all
Yeah.
of this, and then but then they want to bring that homeostasis out into the world with them,
Yeah.
and then they kind of recreate it, they say in the theory, and
Yeah.
so, but the thing is, if as therapists, we need to have compassion into that,
Yeah,
into
absolutely.
that background story, because nobody wanted to turn out crap,
Yeah.
and with real difficulties. And it's just funny that the world, like you like the guy who wants to hit the cops because obviously he feels discriminated, because it's like in Oliver's book, he talks about some of the ways, like when you do, he talks about how you've got a persona where you have to go into these actually really dangerous places
Yes.
often, but then tragic places too. They're the guys who also, when someone dies, they're there, they have to tell the parents, they're doing all this stuff. And that persona you have to wear
Yeah.
is like sometimes very, like he was an unusually sort of gentle,
So it
curious.
must be hard to let that go at the end of the day when you go home.
And you can develop
Yeah.
issues from that. But he said other people in the force were more like, let go, get over it, just go through. And those people can be a bit less sensitive with the
Yeah.
clients. And he talks about how, he's seen profiling, discrimination.
Yes.
Someone's doing this, so someone's got drugs, so assume they're this.
Oh, and I
Where
feel.
that was an example he gives in the book, where it's actually, what do you know? It's like, it's that you don't
Yeah.
know anything about their life.
And I know that poor old cops, you know, because of what they've been forced to do in the last 4 years around the world, you know, they don't have a lot of good, you know, like there was a whole, you know, defund police, and here in Australia, they were forced to shoot rubber bullets at humans, you know, at. You know, so there's been some awful things police have been forced to do. And
Well, if there's anybody from the services who do, my friend Oliver Blue Healers Counselling
yeah,
over at
nice.
Graceville.
Yeah, good one. So it's been a challenging time. So, you know, and I don't have any love loss, you know, I sort of have had a few really crap things happen in my little world, you know, with police. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, sort of trust
Oh,
once
have
the
you?
trust has been
Yeah, right,
broken.
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I'm lucky. Always good experiences. These aren't the Jedis you're looking for.
Yeah, good one. So yeah, so oh, can I mention one more guru? Just one more. There's a guy called Dr. Jeff Bland. Now, he actually started functional medicine healing in the States.
Oh, really?
So he was a doctor. He had a son who was injured or disabled or something. So as a doctor, him and his wife were just trying to find any solutions.
You mean functional medicine as in what naturopaths do?
But going back 40 years ago, so he'd be in his
And
late 70s,
the
80s now.
chiropractors were doing that over there.
Oh no, not the same, not
No,
the
no.
same. So this is and he basically started it. So Dr. Jeffrey Bland with a J, Jeffrey, and he basically worked with some naturopaths from Canada to basically get it set up over there. And he sort of, really has spread it. So every time he speaks, this is what I love about the times that I've heard him speak live, and I've heard him speak live maybe 4 or 5 times. But if he gets up for 30 minutes, he'll speak 3 million words. And he's that sort of teacher that you hope they're going to record it. They never do. And then you just have to just let the words wash over you because he just knows so much and he's so good. And you just can't get bogged down in the
I'm
details.
not going to
You
remember this.
just have to go, oh, and you can't make notes because if you make notes, you've lost the next 20 words. So anyway, love Dr. Jeffrey Bland too. Just awesome. So he's the reason, well, he's one of the many reasons why there are awesome doctors around the world who know more than what doctors know.
Well, one thing I notice about, to say something about a lot of my teachers at once, it's not until you get into trouble, like in therapy or even in life, that suddenly what they taught you becomes really relevant.
Yeah, right, nice.
Like, for example, I've just had a few heart attacks and had surgery and that sort of thing, except I'm doing all the things that I teach my clients, and I'm like on the top of my game.
Yeah,
And
nice.
so, because I'm doing yoga regularly, I'm and change my diet to match my needs, and then all of a sudden you're in a really powerful position where you're feeling really well most of the time compared to other people. And you're
Yeah.
just like, well, praise metabolic health. And then the
Yeah.
spiritual thing too, it's like, it's like you might learn, say, yoga. So I learned yoga, and I had a really good yoga teacher from Sachinanda Yoga Ashram, and she taught me it, right? But she taught me things that I didn't use then.
Right.
But once I got sick, suddenly whack. Do you know what I mean? Like she said, she just taught me these basics. She goes, I'm not going to teach you any complicated yoga. And she goes, but when you get sick, you watch, the asanas will come, the position, and they do. It's like you actually know what to do. And she goes in, and then she goes, mantra, which is, will come with the asanas. And so I listen to, kirtan, which is a, music thing, or music, like just modern music. And so with the rhythm, you can do your breath with the rhythm, and it's like energy, the same as when you're dancing with nice music. It's like you can regulate everything, so your asanas become perfect with the music, and so does your breath, and you end up like
Beautiful.
this. Yeah, so teachers, yeah, so
Yeah.
when the emergency comes, we remember them. Do you notice that? It's like, oh, what would they do?
Nice.
Yeah, like Christians, what would Jesus do? Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, he's another good teacher.
Early life teacher.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool spiritual leaders out there that are,
Praise the Lord.
praise the Lord. What do we say? Hallelujah and amen.
That's right.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Awesome. Excellent. Thanks, David. Good stuff.
Happy Teachers
Happy
Day.
Teachers' Day. Have a good one.